Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful windy Wednesday morning, the 4th of Rabi al-Awwal 1442. I want to welcome my beloved engineer brother Bonface this early Wednesday morning, mashallah. And let's welcome the beautiful listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Company. And let's welcome the beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course our beloved senior fadilatul honorable Ustad Hazrat Marana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. 0847863132, that's our WhatsApp number, 0847863132. International overseas listeners, +27847863132. Ustad, let's welcome you into the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Listen, I want to know, Ustad, dear Mufti Sahab, I would like to know if zakat is payable on my meher. My meher was given to me in the form of jewelry and dinar. Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all praise is due to Almighty Allah that the mahar was given to you. So that belongs to you. You are the sole owner of that. So in a case like that, zakat will be compulsory upon you. However, if your husband is very generous, big-hearted, he says, oh honey, don't worry, I will pay the money. So remember, that's fine. But before payment, he must inform you that he is paying your zakat. Now the question arises, when the jewelry was given to you, the value of it was 80,000, for example, right? Whether it was the coins, whether it was the ring, the bracelet, the bangles, all that. But now it appreciated to 100,000. So current market value is 100,000. So remember, you will have to pay 2,500, that is zakat. So either you pay that in cash or either in kind. So kind will mean that you give out your jewelry, or you give out your clothing, you give out your crockery and cutlery and what have you. So all that would be permissible. And the recipient for zakat, remember, must be a poor Muslim person. And Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned in Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse 60, the 8 different categories of people that are entitled to receive zakat.
Somebody says, your Ustad, that I am about to get married and my future wife would like to perform bidah, that is, go back to her parents' home after a few days of marriage. Is this permissible, or are we imitating the Hindus, Ustad?
Remember, you can't classify it as bidah, my brother. You also, you're not even married and you're already making trouble with your wife. So you should be, it's a give and take situation. So you must remember that after marriage, if she wants to go and she told you that, you know, after 1 month, after 2 months, that she'll feel that she wants to go to her parents' place for 1 week to cool off and whatever, because in the starting you'll need to adjust with one another. So you can't call that a bid'ah. Yes, if she says it's a must in Islam, or she says it is a sunnah in Islam, that the wife must go to her parents' place and so forth, then you classify it as bid'ah. But if it is husband-wife amicable agreement, so that's fine. So clarify all these issues so that you don't have problems. Sometimes we make mountains out of molehills, you know, and this is one of them. I got married and we went to Pakistan, and then we spent 12, 14 months, you must remember. So you must remember that we went and we came back after 14 months. So remember, there was no question of she going back to her parents and that, with thousands of miles and kilometers away. So there's no sunnah about it, there's no must about it. But remember, it is you also should be bigger hearted and common sense must be common as well. So she made such a big sacrifice. She left her parents, she left the place of her birth to spend the remainder of your life, of her life with you. So you should always remember the Quranic verse, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They treat your wives with love, equity, and justice. And this is a commandment and compulsory. And Allah is addressing me and you as the husbands. So it is a give and take situation, my brother. Don't make a so big thing out of it.
Mufti Sahib, a man gave his wife one irrevocable divorce with an alim and family members as witnesses. Since they had also been married through the court, they also divorced through the court after the talaq. Number one, does divorce through the courts constitute another talaq? And can they make nikah ustad?
Okay, the husband gave his wife what we will call in technical jargon as one talaq a buy-in, irrevocable divorce. With one story. So that talaq is valid. Thereafter, he went to court and then remember he divorced his wife there as well. So that is to finish up the civil marriage. So that marriage there is finished. That will not, I repeat and reiterate, not. It will not be considered as a second talaq. That is just to finish up the civil marriage so she cannot go and make any claims against him, the ex-husband and so forth. So currently the status quo is this, that he, a husband ABC, divorced his wife XYZ, one talaq a buy-in, one irrevocable divorce. Whether she is in iddat or whether it's after the iddat, in both scenarios, both cases, a tajdeedu nikah has to take place. A new nikah must take place because now they realize they want to reconcile. However, it must be made clear to the husband for future purposes, you only possess two talaqs now. She don't have to marry anybody else or anything, so you can get married and the girl must be happy, her father, parents must be happy and so forth. There must be mahar again and there will be two male witnesses and you get married, but remember only two talaqs you will have for the future. And stop fighting now. Learn from the previous lessons that why you were fighting and petty issues. So remember Allah is giving you another chance. So use it and then inshallah cry to Allah, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Read ya wadudu ya wadudu ya wadud. Ya Allah Jalla wala, you are the creator of love, Ya Allah. Then read this one sentence, O husband, O wife. Allahumma alif baina qulubina. You know how the Arabic alphabet alif. So you put a shadda, you put a tajdeed on the lam. Allahumma alif baina qulubina. Oh, beloved Allah, bring the mahabba, the ulfa, the mawadda. Bring the love, Ya Allah, within our hearts. And then there will be some up and down and so forth. Allahumma alif baina qulubina wa aslih dhata baynina. Bring about reform, reconciliation among us. Once the bodies meet, the heart meet, there's unity of thought, then you both going in the same direction. In the plane, you will experience turbulence. In the boat and ship, you will experience the waves and vicissitudes and ups and downs. But remember, you will still be together. So that is what matrimonial life and married life is all about.
Respected Mufti Saab, I am 31 years old, Muslim lady, and I intend to marry a Muslim married man, and whom I have known since 7 years. I have a special affinity towards him. I got attracted to him because of his religious commitments, maturity, and caring nature. I spoke to my parents, Mufti Saab, about him after 6 years of relationship, which was not physical. We never meet each other. We just talk on the phone once in 5 to 6 months. But they are against this marriage. Please guide me. 31 years old sister, Ustad.
Yes, even if I'm the parents, I'm against it. What religious convictions does he have when he is tuning you up for the past 6-7 years and he's speaking to you and so forth, when both of you are total strangers with one another, he's keeping you as a spare wheel and so forth, and then you will be going in as a second wife. So remember, remember, forget all the religious convictions that you're speaking about, and then you say you're attracted to him. Attracted to what? That he's going to treat you like a spare wheel and so forth. So bad call, sister. It's a no-brainer. What your parents are telling you is 100% right. Remember that you can't get married to him. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La nikaha illa bi waliyin. Authentic hadith, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, that there is no nikah, the nikah and marriage is not valid without the consent of the guardian. So your father is against it, and I think most probably your mother as well, hence you can't get married. And really, I don't know you, I don't know your parents, but I will give the same advice. Secondly, why you want to complicate that lady's life? She's living with her husband, and now you're going to become kebab me haddi. You know kebab me haddi. You want to become the third party to poke your nose in their business and so forth. And you know our Muslim husbands in this day and this age, 80% of them do not do justice when they have 2, 3, 4 wives. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. That when you fear you can't do justice, then just keep one wife. Just forget it and block him and no more. And make tawbah for all the haram that was going on between you and him. In Islam, that is the introduction to zina. For you, it is introduction to fornication. And for him, is the introduction to adultery. Islam didn't only say we must not commit zina, fornication, adultery. Islam said do not even approach it and go near it. Hence, Almighty Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not even approach and go near zina, fornication. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. It is something that is obscene and something indecent and something which does not behove any true Muslim to do. So therefore, sister, you are guilty of that, and he is guilty, and he's just using you as a spare wheel. Read Surah 17, Surah chapter Bani Israel, Surah chapter 17 and verse number 32, and you will find the verse in the Noble Quran.
So Ustad, it says that this is from Mauritius. Who is responsible to look after an unmarried sister who is working, whose father passed away? And to what extent, Ustad, Mauritius?
Whilst the father is alive, then it will be the father's responsibility to care for his daughter till she gets married. And if now the daughter is 20, 25, 30 years old, for example, and then the father passed away, so thereafter the responsibility will be upon her, the brothers, that sister who was never married, so remember, upon her brothers. So it's one brother, two brothers, three brothers. We're not speaking of children now. So those brothers who are 20, 30, 25 years old, so each one of them proportionately, they must bear the expenses for their sister, and they're doing no favor to her. It is something that is compulsory upon her. In Islam, we work on the law, al-kharaju bid-daman, al-ghunmu bil-ghurmi. Now, these are all technical terms and ahadith, meaning that if she passes away now, so who will inherit from her? You, the brothers, will inherit from her. So while she is alive, so remember, you, the same brothers, that if she predeceases you, then you will inherit from her. So you have to look after her. There's no need for her to go outside and look for shop and job and all these things. Islam has all these in place. You must remember that. And if there are no brothers, then the paternal uncles. So you must remember the the pasabrur, the kaka, the cha-cha. So you must remember they are responsible for their niece. So Islam has given a wonderful system, you must remember, for all these issues. And if you want a reference of this, Almighty Allah says, وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. When it comes to maintaining, sustaining, and helping the people, so you must remember that the father will be responsible. And if there is no father and so forth, he passed away, so the Quran says on the age it will be compulsory. Surah 2, verse number 233. So everything clearly enshrined in the Noble Quran.
So Ustad, a student of Deen says here that my name is Yumna Muftisab. I teach from home. So if a female earns a salary, Ustad, is she obliged to contribute to the household running, Ustad?
Very good. Your name is Yumna. Yumna means you are on the right hand side. So this morning, my wife told me I must pick up the tray, you know. And I forgot. I took a right turn and I went to my study because I love my kitabs and my books, you know. So the Shahid, the poet says, Mutanabbi says, Khairu Jalisi Kutubi, my best friend are my books. So then she told me, hey, come pick up this, the tray and all that. I said, oh yeah. I say I like to take right turns, you understand? Because Quran says, Ulaika Ashabul Maymana. Me, I'm Mayman also, you see. So I'm Mayman and I like to take the right turn. I walk on the right path. So Yumna. So you, my Allah, sister, you're walking on the right path, you see. So right hand turn. So you must remember that. So you must stay on the right path, my sister. Okay, I assume and presume, sister, you're not married. You're teaching from home and now you get receiving income. So now for the rent, the water, lights, all these things here, so much you pay. No, you don't have to pay a cent. You must remember that your father is alive. The responsibility, onus is on him, that whatever expenses there is of yours, so he must pay. But if you want to be now one who is, you know, going to be spending, squandering wealth and all that and making unnecessary demands, then obviously it's not necessary upon your father that he must comply with that. Then use your own money. You want to buy shoes every month, you want to buy a new outfit every month, so then you use your own money. But regarding the household, remember, it's not compulsory. However, that is fatwa. One is iftar, the fatwa, the verdict, and one is irshad. So my advice to you, sister, will be that you got your father, your mother, they're both alive. I presume that. So you must give them out of the goodness of your heart. And don't say it is for the expenses. Say, Ya Abi, Ya Abati, Ya Abi, oh my father, Ya Abati, oh my beloved, respected father, Ya Ummi, oh my beloved mother, this is a gift from your daughter to you. Allah. So that is what you should be doing, my sister, without them asking. So that is the akhlaq al-nabawiyya. That is what Islam is teaching.
Subhanallah. I see a student of Dinyum that says, my Abu knows you. He says that you owe Roshni a visit to start.
Roshni got too many, you'll understand, Roshan already.
No.
So you got too much light there already. Inshallah, you invite us, you make the program, everything will come, inshallah.
Ameen.
I'm booked out from now right till November. So inshallah, after that, we can see.
Inshallah, ameen. So that we are parents to our kids. On our demise, do they receive everything we own? Do our brothers and sisters also have to get a share? Ustad.
Remember this golden rule of inheritance. Always remember this. This is 100% across the board, across the spectrum. I just use myself as an example, right? So myself, I'm alive. My wife is alive. And we got two sons, two daughters. We got no children. This example I'm giving. So in a case like that, now I die. I pass away. So because I have a son, whether one son, two sons, whatever, so my brothers, my sisters, my siblings, no one inherits a cent. Why? Because my son or sons, but just say son, so my son will deprive them. This is 100% across the board. But I like my brother, I like my sister. So what Islam will say, when you have a son, sons, and you are to give something to your brother, your sister, and so forth, so on, so after the burial, funeral expenses, after the death of the deceased, you have that prerogative, you have that alternative, and that is that one-third maximum of the estate you can bequeath for non-heirs. So you bequeath for your brother, sister, because they're not going to inherit, because your biological son, we're speaking of biological son, will inherit and deprive them. So remember, that is how it will work. And you have sons and daughters, so the wife will receive 12.5% and the remainder will go to the children, sons and daughters, not stepchildren, not foster children, not adopted children, biological children, and the ratio will be 2 to 1. So that's one principle. Second principle, that I pass away. and my father is alive. So once my biological father is alive, then my brothers, my sisters, all deprived. So you got the usul, the principle, 100%. From A to Z, it works in the Islamic law of succession, in the Islamic law of inheritance. Once the deceased is survived by either his biological son or by his biological father, then he or she, the mayyit, the deceased, that mayyit's brothers, sisters, all deprived, they don't inherit a cent. So during your lifetime, what you should have done, verbally you should have said to 2-3 witnesses that you want certain amount of money, 5,000, 10,000, whatever, so it will not exceed 1/3 of the total estate to your brothers, sisters. So that will be classified as wasiyah. But better than doing that is you write it down, and it is mentioned in your last will and testament. So that is what you do. So that is what will happen in that case. And if your father, mother alive, you passed away, you predeceased them, and you have your wife, you have your children, your son, daughter, so your wife will receive 12.5%, or the wife dies, then the husband 25%. The parents will receive 1/6, 1/6, collectively 1/3, and it will be shared equally between them, the father, mother of the deceased, 1/6, 1/6, and the residue remainder will go to the children, ratio 2-1.
So Karisab says, Mufti Sab, when men pass away, wife inherits from him. On contrary, if wife pass away, does husband inherit from her? Masla kya hai, Karisab Ustad?
Haan, bilkul yahi hota hai, dono taraf se, te agar jo hai, shohar ka intikal ho gaya, aur bache bhi ho, to is surat mein jo hai, sara 12% jo hai, biwi ke liye, aur baki bache ke liye, aur agar biwi ka intikal ho gaya, aur bacha bhi ho, to phir is surat mein shohar ke liye 25% hai, aur baki jo hai, aulaad ke liye, dugna jo hai, larke ke liye, aur ek hissa jo hai ladki ke liye. So remember that I just explained to Qari Sahab, husband passes away, wife 12.5% and residue to children. And remember, the wife passes away, husband 25% and remainder to children, ratio 2-1. Aur isi tarike se Qari Sahab, agar mayit chahe shohar ho chahe biwi ho, inki walidain ho, to ek tihai hissa, ek thuluth walidain ke liye, ek chatta hissa jo hai walid sahab ke liye, aur ek chhatta hissa walida ke liye, aur baki jis tarike se maine arz kiya tha. So remember, if the parents are also alive, then 1/6, 1/6 for them, and if that person has got wife and children, then remember that 12.5 for the wife, and then will go to the children, the remainder after the wife and the parents have inherited. Or if the wife died, the husband inherit, the parents inherit, then remainder to the children.
Karisab says, Bo Jazakallah Ustad. 27 minutes after 12, you are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Dear Mufti Sab, it is so easy to talk. I always say, put your gold where your mouth is. Hard to earn and easy to spend. That's all what my wife does, Mufti Sab. Spend, spend, spend of that which we don't have. I don't want our marriage to break because of money, money, money. Please help me. Anonymous brother Ustad.
So what's the big problem today? You must remember, is the 4th of Rabiul Awal. So either you take the Islamic month, or today is 21st of October. So when she is in a good mood, you in a good mood, both of you are sober, you're not fighting and arguing like cats and dogs, and remember that you have no children, the children are sleeping, and don't discuss all this in front of the children. So you discuss it as mature adults. So what you're going to say, darling, see, this is my income and this is the budget. So remember, 4th Rabiul Awal, the end of Rabiul Awal, this is the amount I'm giving you. And you spend it, don't come ask me for any more money. You got anything extra, then you use your own money. This is my budget, this is what I can afford. You worked on 21st October, so you got 10 days left now till end of the month, so this is the budget, and so forth. So what is the fight then? But you also must be reasonable. So you must remember, you can't expect and give 100 rand and say that you must pull for the next 10 days. I mean, you can't be crazy also. So remember, sometimes the husband are unreasonable, sometimes the wives also got no sense, you know, common sense is no more so common, so they will bust up 1,000 rand, 5,000 rand per day. You just swipe the card nowadays, swipe, so the card is just there, it will go. So, and then the interest will come, then it's compounded interest. So you must have a budget and don't go into debt. Remember that. That's the golden recipe. Never go into debt. Never get involved in interest. Lead a simple life and cry to Allah. You see, now I came down from upstairs to downstairs. So what I read? Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhab, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah. We read all the du'as. Rabbi Shrahali Swadri. So all that we read, so Allah Ta'ala make every day our task easy. So that is what we must do, remember that. So you're going to read, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhab, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah, Ya Basitu, Ya Basitu. And Allah will give you abundant risk, inshallah.
Let's go to Boxburg, Ustad. They're listening to you this morning. It says, Dear Mufti, eating out cost a packet. You know that, Mufti Sab. My wife can't even fry eggs. Is it permissible for me to let her sister, who is unmarried, to live in with us and cook for us? As a belief, Mufti Sab.
As a belief, Dansal Anna Khutabe also cook. You must remember that. That other things will be cooking also. So what your wife? You just buy one book for her, Indian Delights, and this book and this book and all that. You don't like Indian food, then buy Malay Delights. You understand? So in that way there, though, didn't you use some common sense before you got married? Didn't you find out that can she cook? Can she run a house? Can she do this or that? So you must remember to keep her sister there, all haram, all that. Out of the question that. You can't keep her there when she's gone out, it's you and her alone. Then what you doing? So you must remember, you're putting butter next to the stove, something will be cooking then, brother. So totally haram that is. So you must start cooking and she must start cooking, and you teach her, or otherwise get one to books and teach her all these type of things.
Somebody says, this is our good friend Farooq. He says, I don't want to debate with you, my Mufti Sab. Why do the Arab ulama not recognize Imam Abu Hanifa and the Hanafi madhab? If they follow the humble or Maliki madhab, did not Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and Imam Maliki recognize Imam Abu Hanifa and the Hanafi madhab? Farooq, Ustad.
My brother Farooq, sometimes people make statements, you must remember, they don't even know what they're talking. So you must remember that which Arab ulama don't recognize Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hanifa passed away in 150 after Hijrah. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, 100% Arab, and he was born the day Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, was born, and the day Imam Hanifa passed away, Imam Shafi'i was born. And remember, Imam Shafi, and if you want reference of that, open Hidayah, the famous book by Allama Marghinani, the Muqaddama introduction. And remember, Imam Shafi'i said, "An-nasu iyalun li Abi Hanifata fil fiqh." The people are the children of Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh and jurisprudence. The Imams of the Haram, I translate every week from Makkah. So remember, sometime, not very often, but sometime they will say, "Waqala Malik, وقال أبو حنيفة وقال الشافي وقال أحمد بن حنبل." So how you can say they don't recognize all these things here? Yes, you can say this, that today you get these students, you must remember, Salafi students, you must remember, who don't even know 100 hadiths properly today I'm speaking about. So they attack Imam Abu Hanifa. That is exposing their own jahalat and ignorance. I challenge every Salafi throughout the world on these three issues. Till now they can't answer me. I ask them, how come you say three talaqs is one talaq? But in Bukhari Sharif, this hadith, three talaq is three. So what are you promoting? You're promoting, you must remember, that the trinity of the Christians, or you're practicing on Quran and Sunnah? We challenge them, you must remember, the Salafis, that we ask them, that you tell us, Taraweeh is 20 rakats or is 8 rakats? So Imam Abu Hanifa Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, they all say 20 rakats. So today's Salafis, they got problems, so we consider them to be non-entities, so you must remember that. So there, and likewise, to make masa on the normal socks, I'm wearing socks, nylon socks, cotton socks, so if they, so we say for them, Nubahul Kilab, La Yadurru Sahab. If the dogs are barking and they make noise against the clouds, so who's going to harm the clouds? So Imam Abu Hanifa and them are giants, Imam Shafi is giant, Imam Malik is giant, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is giant. That's a different issue, that wherever people grew up, I was born in Heidelberg, Transvaal, Gauteng, whatever you want to say. So now, everybody, there was Hanafi, the Ustaz were Hanafi, so we follow the Hanafi school. If I was born in Cape Town, so you must remember 90%, 80% follow the Shafi school, so we should follow that. If I was born, you must remember somewhere there in West Africa or somewhere, so there they follow the Shafi, there they follow the Maliki school, so then I should be following the Maliki school. Then if I was born in Makkah, Medina, I should follow the Hanbali school. So that is now where you grow up and so forth, and then we learn all the fiqh, alhamdulillah, with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah. So that is Qawlul Jahala. You must remember, people who want to attack Imam Abu Hanifa and so forth, they actually exposing their own ignorance. You must remember that.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. 22 minutes to 12. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Yes, 084-786-3132. International overseas number, +27847863132. Yes, I do have questions coming in, so inshallah, you can inshallah still say, be sending your questions, inshallah, and then I will be posing to our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhullah. Ustad, somebody wants to know regarding the Nasiha daily program in the Telegram, and of course, regarding you people's radio markers decoders, Ustad, Anonymous.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, mashallah, and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There are three issues here, so let's take them one by one. Those of you who want the decoders, the radios, mashallah, know it is 600 rand per radio, per decoder. So where can you purchase it? Remember, you just contact our reception here, Brother Suleiman. He is here, I just met him just now also. So you must remember that our landline number here in Lanesia, Johannesburg, is 011-854-2990. 011-854-2990. So he'll give you all the details and so forth and so on. And if you want in Durban, mashallah, we have a new reception there, and that is our brother Yusuf Mehter. Brother Yusuf Mehter, he's in our Durban studios, mashallah, of Markaz Sahaba. And the landline number there is, to contact Yusuf Mehter, 031-001-3332. So 031, then 001-333-333-2. Let me just check it up there again. Well, so anyway, so remember, I gave it just now. So anyway, I'll come back to you with that, inshallah. That with that number. So, Mona, just speak. I'll just confirm.
Yeah, GGG. You did send a number. So it says 031-001-3332.
Yeah, 332. Right. So it's a new number. So that's why I'm getting mixed up. 031. Our Durban number, 031, and then 001-3332. Mm-hmm. So that is the number, mashallah. You contact our brother Yusuf Mehter. Right. So that is done. Alhamdulillah. Second one is this, that remember that there, the Ansar bookshop, bookstore, and media center also selling. IG Hussein also are selling the Overport branch. So all these, and in Ladysmith, mashallah, Mohana Salim Karim is there. So for the Northern Natal brothers, Midland brothers, you contact Mohana Salim Karim, inshallah. So it is 600 rand per decoder and so forth, right? Second one is the Telegram. So you must remember for the Telegram, and I want to see our podcast and what have you. So anybody wants, so just send me a message on this number, my number, WhatsApp number 071 071-888-1184 And that is, you just write telegram and then we will inshallah send it out to you. MashaAllah, Salahuddin and family, Allah Ta'ala reward them. So they doing out of their way to help us and assist us. So Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all parties. Then those of you who want to follow, you must remember on the Twitter and so forth, at AK Hussein, AKHOOSEN. If you have Twitter, then you can just follow, so everything goes out there as well. And likewise, those of you who want to contact us by email, then akhussein@gmail.com, akhoosen@gmail.com. And you can go to our website, you will find everything there. MashaAllah, our brother Yusuf Mehter is every day now, MashaAllah, updating the website and so forth. 031-001-332. So inshallah, that's their landline number in Durban. And our websites are that Markaz Sahaba, MarkazSahaba.com, and mine is MuftiAKHussein.net. And you visit the websites, mashallah, you will find a wealth of information there, inshallah, with Allah Ta'ala's mercy.
Somebody says, Ya Ustaz, that the Imam says in our masjid that the senior ulama of the past, they are saying that we can't say that she has a kufar, Ustaz.
That is true. Not all. Some senior ulama of the past, they used to say that the Shias, we can't say all of them. We must say some of them, few of them are kuffar and so forth. If you just go back 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, our own ulama, our own teachers, you must remember that I'm in the country 40 years now. So you must remember that if you had to ask the ulama in the 60s, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, so you must remember that do you have these kitabs and so forth. Remember, there was no internet, there was no all these gadgets that we have. So they would say, no, we don't have and so forth. So the Shias, they would hide and conceal their kitabs. But with the revolution in Iran, the Iranian revolution, not Islamic revolution, majority of them in Iran are Shias, 80%, and majority of them are kuffar. So you must remember that. So in a case like that, now the Shias are promoting and propagating their literature. You just go to the internet and just say you want the Shia kitabs, you will see hundreds of kitabs will come. Not only that, they're taking over the Arab countries, Muslim countries. So Iran was Shia from the year 1501 Gregorian calendar. Ismail Safavi, la'anahullah, Allah's curse be upon him, he came and changed the whole landscape, you must remember, of Iran, which was Sunni country. And conquered, remember, during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, right till 1500 was Sunni country. Then for the past 520 years, now it's Shia country. Then you take Iraq. Iraq has become Shia, it's Arab country. Lebanon has become Shia country with Hizbul Shaitan there, they call them Hizbullah. And then Yemen is on the verge of becoming Shia with the Houthis and all of them there. And then you see Syria, the Shaitan, Bashar Assad, 100% Kafir, Murtad. So remember, so all these countries have become Shia, because you must remember, Shias have the support of the enemies of Islam. Those of you who think Israel and Iran are enemies, that is just to fool you. Daytime they swear one another, nighttime they plot with one another against the Muslims and Sunnis. So therefore, well, who is killing who in Syria? So you must remember, who's helping them? Iran is helping them, Hezbollah is helping them and so forth. So you must understand that Shias 100% kuffar they are. Today Shias, because we know the books, we know the literature. I pose three questions to you. They say in the Quran there's 17,000 verses. You know in the Quran there's 6,236 verses. So where's the other verses? Second one, they swear curse all the Sahaba 99%. They say Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir bin Muawiyah, all non-Muslim. Allah forbid. The Muslim people like the Zama. And they say 90%, 99% of the Sahaba are kuffar. 4, 5, 10 they take out exempted. So the rest, few of them. Third one, Khomeini's kitab. I've been to Iran, I've been to Iraq with Allah's help. They gave me books there, so you must remember. In Tawdihul Masail Khomeini, la'anahullah, Allah's curse be on him. So he writes, you can make prostitution for 1 hour. Muta. Ask any Shia if I'm lying. So you must, I got a book I can show you. So remember that. So do you want your daughter to do that? Do you want Islam to say that? Do you think Islam ever said such crazy things? Shias legalized two things which no religion in the world legalized. They legalized prostitution in the name of Muta. They legalized lying and holy hypocrisy in the name of Taqiyya. The Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, the Buddhas, nobody legalized it. But these Shia kuffar, they legalized it. 100% kuffar.
Somebody says here, Mufti Sahab, please, I need your advice. I am 25 years old, and the girl who is my student is 15. I am her tutor. I have feelings for her for many days, and I like her. I want nikah with her with Islamic sunnah, but I don't know what does she think for me. I did not tell her about this. I'm very depressed about her and not concentrating in my life. The feeling for her from my side is day by day increasing. Right now, I am not settled. Please advise me, Ustad.
Yes, haram things must always bring all these haram feelings. Who gave you the right to teach her? You with her, you 25, she's 15. Her parents also got no sense that they're sending a young girl like this who's akila, baligha, sane, mature, putting, you must remember, a young girl right there next to the lion and expecting nothing to happen. So you must remember, you must stop teaching her and she must stop coming to you. That's the first thing you'll have to do. So you must remember that that's why Islam has the laws of parda and hijab. You see what's happening in today's world, that the people, the teachers are having affair with the students. Sometimes the students are giving birth to the teachers' children. And in South Africa, it's rife and rampant. You must remember these type of things here. So all this shaitaniyat, Islam put a stop to it right in the start. Islam said that you can't have a male and a female who are strangers to one another, they be alone. Or even teaching them like how you teaching, absolutely haram that is. So لا يخلوان رجل بمرأت إلا وثالثما الشيطان. You ask me for advice, that's my advice. She must not come to your class and you can't be teaching her. And her parents, if they got common sense, they will stop her immediately. Next one, you want to marry her, all that, that's a separate issue. So whether she can run a house, whether she can be married now, 15 years old. Today, you must remember that you get married to a girl 15 years old in this age. You get one, two exceptions, but generally I'm speaking. You just raise your voice and you just shout them the way they'll start crying and so forth. They'll say, I want to go back home. Most of our daughters, sisters at the age of 15 are nadan. That's a good word in Gujarati, Meman, Urdu and all, which means that they are very, very naive. So you must remember that. So they are mature, but they're not mentally mature to handle all the responsibilities of being a wife and after 16, 17 being a mother and so forth. So that issue you have to discuss with the father and all of them. But what concerns me is now that the two of you, whether she got feelings or not, Allah alone knows. But you must remember that you are teaching her and already you're both going in the haram direction, and that must stop immediately.
Ustad, another student of Deen from Johannesburg, Mufti Sahab, my hobby is extremely helpful to my neighbors, extremely, but that's absolutely zero at home. Should I get suspicious, Ustad?
So he's helpful to the neighbors. Which neighbor? The male neighbor or the female neighbor? Or to both of them? So obviously your hubby got the wrong end of the stick, the wrong end of the miswak. When you're alone with the hubby, you must take a miswak and tell him, hubby, how you use the miswak, this way or you put it upside down? So you must ask him. He'll tell you, no, this way. So you must tell him, but you making miswak the upside down way. So you must first have allegiance to your wife and children. Then you worry about neighbor, and more so when the neighbor has got a smart wife. You see, now he is impressing the neighbor's husband, the man there. But indirectly, the aim is to impress the neighbor's wife also. So all all the shaitaniyat comes about. Ya'alamu kha'inatal a'yuni wa ma tukhfi sudur. Allah Jalla Wala knows the eyes that are disloyal. We can fool people, and whatever hidden agenda, ulterior motive we have in the inner recesses of our hearts. So all that, remember, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala knows. So your husband must know that what he's doing is not permissible.
Ustad, I caught my wife on a video call to her boyfriend. She wants a divorce, Mufti Saab. Do I give it to her in spite that I have forgiven her, Ustad?
That's your prerogative. If she's doing this habitually and so forth, this boyfriend, that boyfriend. But who brought that phone in the house? Who showed her all these gadgets, video call and this call and all this type of thing? Why you don't just get rid of all the phones and then you just get that old Nokia one, all this gold? So finish, then no more internet, no more WhatsApp, no more all these gadgets and so forth. So remember that if you forgave her, then finish, then you say that you shall stay with you. But if she's carrying on all the time like that, for this boyfriend, that boyfriend, so what example she will be for your children? Will she be a lady who is tayyiba or khabitha? That is the Quranic terminology. Surah 24, verse 26. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, al-khabithatu lil-khabithin. So if you are khabith, you impure, immoral yourself, then you will like the women who are impure, immoral. If you are tayyib and pure, then you will only want a woman that's pure. So that is your call. We won't give you advice regarding that. We will say this: if the lady is habitually involved in this, then women like that is better you get rid of them. And if she just mistake we all make, so then you forgive and you carry on. And remember, then both of you must start ta'aleem in your house. Take the kitab of Hazrat Sheikh Mohana Zakariya Nawar Allah Marqadahu, the kitab, you know, that tabliqi, that al-fazail A'mal and so forth. Read that. Take Riyadu Salihin. Read that. Take Hayatu Sahaba, Hazrat Mohana Yusuf Sahab, Kitab Rahimahullah. Read all these type of books. You have to create the madrasa, the khanka, all that ta'aleem in your house. So whole day we watch film, whole day Hollywood, Bollywood, and then we want barakat to come down. It can't happen. We put poison and expect shifa, brother. It don't work like that.
Ustad, the message says here, Mufti Saab, I am still 18. On the death of my mommy, my dad married my mommy's sister. The nikah took place while my mommy's body was still in our lounge, dear Mufti Saab. My dad says that a nikah is more sacred than death. Explain me, I'm very heartbroken, Ustad.
You must remember that what your father did, you can't say it's haram. But remember, it was, you can say, insensitive, that you can say. So meaning that when your mommy passed away, 9 o'clock in the morning, and the janaza was still 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, he decided, by me, I have to get married. Whether something was going on between him and your Kala, your Masi, your mother's sister, that Allah alone knows. But they got married. So the question that we have to pose is the nikah valid? She's happy, her father, her family gave her permission, the nikah is valid then. So you must remember, but was it the right thing to do ethically? So ethically we should say that you should wait for the burial and all that and then get married. Now obviously that you will say that now couldn't father just wait and so forth, so that will leave a bad taste in your mouth. But you can't tell your father he did something haram. You'll also need to be careful regarding that. So remember, for him, when the woman dies, so there's no iddat for the man or something, so he can get married the same day. But the timing should have been rather after the burial and so forth. So that should be what he should have done.
She says, I'm sorry, Mufti Saab, I'm just like a daughter to you, pouring my heart out to you. Start.
No, it's fine. We got no problem. You must remember, it's give and take. What was better for your father, he should have waited. And for you, you are raising a point which is valid. So remember. So my point is, this, don't hold it against your father. That is the point I'm making. She's your Kala, she's your Masi, your mother's sister. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al Khala to be manzilatil So you must remember the Khala, the Masi, the maternal auntie takes the place of a mother. My Masi and them, when I used to come from overseas, the way they used to hug me and kiss me and all this type of thing. So you must remember, even I used to wonder how many times they're kissing me. So that time I wasn't married also. So you must remember. remember that. So because they're so excited, you know, and this type of, so they in a place of a mother and all this kind, there is no problem with that.
So Nels Pride says, a bliss of marriage. Is it permissible for us to celebrate wedding anniversaries, Ustad? Anonymous.
In Islam, all these type of things, it comes from insecurity. What I mean by insecurity, Islam gave us the best, right? So you must remember, but now we go to secular school, we watch the movies, we have internet, we have, so now the non-Muslims, they brought about birthday. We say, hey, Aitobo Haru, let us also start celebrating birthday. Then they start celebrating anniversary. Say, yeah, this is also very nice. Then they got bridal shower, that's also very nice. Then baby shower, that's also very nice. Then all shaitaniyat, all these things here. Yeah. Did any time Nabi alayhi salam, sahaba, tabi'in, the awliyaullah do this? Never. So for us, every day is anniversary. You must remember, Islam says, treat your wives with love and justice and respect. So every day, and Father's Day, Mother's Day, every day is Father's Day, every day is Mother's Day. So all these are alien customs which people want to justify by putting one label, and this is halal, and put one logo there, and put one certificate, Sharia compliant. So all these things, they got nothing to do with Islam. We said, I use the word insecure. What I mean by that, that we suffer from a complex. You see the Arab world, if they see a white man, they jump up. You must remember that. Because they say white is right and West is the best. And a guy like me and you come, hey, third class person, a Paki Indian, you know. So that is the mentality today of the Muslim. You must remember this type of thing. I'm speaking generally. So you must remember that because they live in that inferiority complex. So what we need to do is show the world Islam is the best and we want to share it with the rest. Not we want to get influenced by their customs and traditions. We must influence them with Islam and not get influenced by them. It's not permissible all these satanic customs of the enemies of Islam.
Maya says from Lanesia, Ustad, that so Monday night, Ustad, my daughter is getting married next week. We're sending my husband away, but it's full camera, strictly only for sisters we're inviting, Ustad. Monday night.
Full cameras. What you think that videos won't float around? So you must remember that. So all these things here, you want to put Mendy for your daughter, very good. For what you have to call it Mendy night? For what you have to invite 100 ladies, and then the videos will be taken, and then dust will be taken, so much ribat will take place, so many stories will go on. So while we all got married, there was no Mendy night and all that. So because of all these things here, one night is Mendy night, one night is the Jol night. The Jol night is the music night and the dancing, and then the belly dancing. So all this is shaitan here. You want happy marriage, you don't do. You want Mendy, fine. Just get a Mendy lady put for her. For what? You have to get 100 ladies, 50 ladies. The cameras will be flashing. The videos will be moving around. You think it will stay there? It will go to 1,000 people. 100,000 men, 50,000 men will be looking at your daughter. It is all that there. Think properly what we're doing.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, any good book recommendation for marriage, Ustad Anonymous?
Remember that, any last question finished then, that is the best books you can get is Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah. So for the Sunnah, you want details, you get Mishkat Sharif, whole chapter on Nikah, whole chapter on Mubasharatul Azwaj, meaning that how the husband should treat the wife, how the wife should treat the husband. So get Mishkat Sharif, is translated in Urdu, in English, in various languages, and in that way, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will keep your son, your daughter, whoever is getting married, very, very happy. And inshallah, you got any wedding announcements, send it now to Mauna Arafat on this number, 084-786-3132.
Marcus Sahaba, online radio, serving you wherever you are.